Okay, so the SPF framework is accessed mostly via the OData feeds. Okay, so it's a web service you call to make your functions against it. There is a set of PowerShell commandlets that are available to configure and check the settings of it. So what I'll do first of all is I'll show you the web, the actual entry point of the web service. So here's my... Oh, got the password right. Okay, so very, very pretty to look at. Now, if you open up a web service through IE, IE understands this as an Atom feed and will try to render it as a web feed. So before you can access any of this, I'll just quickly show you what it is. So go into Tools, Internet Options, onto Content, and there's this web feed sites here. So by default on all IEs, this is enabled. Okay, so we get rid of all of this stuff, and it allows us to go through and view all of these feeds correctly. So these are basically the functions you've got available through WCF and OData capabilities. Okay, so each one of these will go into through the SPF server into VMM and start pulling information out of it. So the first step in configuring the SPF is once you've got it actually installed, mapped to its database, is you test the websites to make sure they actually are accessible and it is functional. Okay, the connection from SPF to VMM is utilizing the Internet Explorer, sorry, the IIS application pool user identity. That's where the user identity is configured, the one that actually does most of the communication. So if that identity doesn't have the correct permissions in SPF and in VMM, then it will not function. Okay, so what I'll do here is I've got a couple of URLs just quickly linked up here for us to have a quick look through. I'll go through and explain what these ones are. Okay, so the first one's VM templates. So when we built our templates in VMM, they then get exposed through the SPF Foundation framework. So what we can do is we can actually see in here, we actually have all the items about what version of template we have, different values about these templates, who the owner was. Yep. Is that better? Everybody can see? Yeah, excellent. Okay. So you've got the normal OData type information here, basically saying where it's coming in through the service. Okay, our templates, it gives us our GUID ID of which ones are there. So that's our first template. We could then, through code, go back in and start retrieving more information about each of these templates. Okay, the other one that's come through that's worked is the clouds, should be. Yep, so these are the clouds. Okay. So I'm just seeing whether I can recognize the name again or where it is. So you can see all the values that we actually have down in here about each of the cloud, where we'll actually see logical networks, the compatibility profiles. All the information you get exposed through here is what you actually get exposed through the VMM GUI as well. Okay. Now the next part of the SPF is actually the PowerShell section. So it does have its own little PowerShell prompt. So what I'll do is I'll run this. Actually, I'll need to do this over on the SPF server, I believe. So jump over to SPF. Okay, so all I've done is import the module. Now what I'll do is I'll get the server. So you see here we've got our SPF server. Now what it's showing is it's showing the connections we have available. Now the IaaS automation is the SMA engine that's part of the WAP portal. VMM01 is obviously the VMM server. And the other one is the Operations Manager Data Warehouse. That's actually the usage. Okay, so when you deploy all of the foundation framework and all the pieces together, you'll actually have an SMA engine, an SPF engine, and an SPF usage engine, which all sit together. Okay, just quickly go through some of the settings. So this basically command that just returns our initial connection settings to each one. So we see here we've just got our standard URL for SPF, which is the one that you'll use to connect to the web services. Okay, the other ones are SQL data sources for the usage in the data warehouse. Okay, the stamp for the environment we've got set up at the moment. Okay, we only have one environment hooked up through here, so we've only got one stamp of resourcing that's available for us. Okay, and tenants. Okay, we only have our one tenant available at the moment. Well, actually, two tenants in there. So these were the tenants that were created through the WAP portal. So if I flick over to the WAP portal, and go to my user accounts, they're the two users that are there. So here in the GUI, we see them as an email address. SPF sees them as this nice, wonderful GUID right here, which is an email address, underscore, and a big GUID. And when we flick across to VMM, go into centers in here, we see them coming through as the same GUID. Now you notice that the Craig at Skybelt, Craig at SAIT has two entries in here. That's because there's two subscriptions applied to it. Each subscription actually tags on and creates a new entry point. Okay. So the rest of these won't function here. They won't return any values. These other tenant roles are part of the VMM structure. So when you create a self-service user in VMM itself, there's another set of user roles that actually come into play. Okay. That's the SPF stuff. Now I'll flick over to the server management side. So the server management is done inside the WAP portal. So we have our automation here. Okay, so this is basically, it uses the orchestrator engine, but they've rebuilt the orchestrator style engine into SMA, which now runs as a dedicated web service type infrastructure, almost like a sandbox runbook engine. Now the WAP portal actually hooks into that. So once you've registered, you register your SMA engine, which we've already done here. That then sends all of those commands into that one. So when the runbook's fired, they're scheduled and dropped into that in process. Okay. Our assets, I'll sort of go backwards for this. Our assets is all of the objects that we want to use inside our runbook. So rather than storing things like a credentials inside a runbook where people won't be able to see it, we store the credentials as an asset and then use that asset in our runbook. So the type of ones we've got available to use is here. So we've got a connection. Okay, multiple different connection types we want to use. So we just pick which one we want to actually use. So what's a good one we can use into here? Can't see it at the moment. Yeah. Okay. So what I'll do is I'll pick the management SQL server, pick that guy, just give it a quick name for now. Oh, that's a bit sensitive. Okay, and then we'll basically enter our password, computer name, user ID, of which one we'll be connecting into it with. So that'll basically build a connection string into that service. Okay, credentials are your standard type of credentials you have available, which is a PowerShell credential or a certificate credential. Okay. Variables that you want to set up in the environment. And the last one. The last one is basically schedules. Okay, I'll show you the schedules in a minute. Okay, so once you've got your assets set up, the next step is to go in and start configuring runbooks. So I'll show you this runbook first. So once you've clicked in a runbook, you'll come across to this screen here, which will tell you whether it's been published, how many sessions of it are actually running, how many are queued, how many are scheduled, that type of structure. Tell you who authored it, the publishing status of it, and the last couple of jobs that have been run. So what I'll do is I'll click across. So the jobs tab will just show you the last lot of running jobs and the current status of where they are. You've got a little menu there where you can pick which date range you want to go through. I'll go into the author section. So in the author section is where you actually get to see what's actually happening inside the runbook. This is all PowerShell workflow. So by default, when you create a runbook, it'll be in a draft mode. You'll have to then go in and say to publish that runbook. So here I've got one which is just going to get a orchestrated runbook for me. Now, if I wanted to edit that server, that runbook, I click draft, edit runbook, and it now changes to basically what you see is what you get type editor. We can go in and modify anything we want to do in there. Now, you'll notice in here, I have PS cred name. Okay, that's the credentials I'm going to use for my web service call into Orchestrator. But rather than have them sitting here, where everybody can see them just by viewing these logs, I've actually got them stored as an asset. So what I'll do is I'll discard the draft on that one, which will revert it back to being a published one. I'll flick back and show you those credentials in the asset. So there's the credentials that I've got set up in the asset. Okay. So basically just a standard form for your credentials. So let's go back to the runbooks. Go back into this one. Next tab is the schedule tab. So in here is where I could actually create a schedule of when I want to run this runbook, because there's two ways to fire the runbooks by default. One is via a schedule and one is off a tagged event in the VMM console. Okay. So the scheduling process, I'll just skip past the welcome screen on that one. The scheduling process is pretty much the default scheduling you're going to get from anywhere. Okay. The only thing to remember is the time is not relative to daylight savings. Okay, it doesn't adjust for daylight savings when you set the time. Okay, won't worry about a schedule because we're not going to run it by a schedule right now. Okay, configuration. So this is where you can actually name the description of it. Once you've given it a name, you can't really change it. So be careful about that. Give it the name first off. Your logging records are all set up in here, and your tags. Your tags are where you're going to actually group the runbooks together so you know what they are. If you want one to link to a VM process, it's got to have a tag of SPF associated with it. If it doesn't have that, it won't show up later on. This runbook, I'm not going to run from that area, but another thing you can do is if you're only building runbooks for yourself and you're only going to be using it for yourself, put a tag on it, because I'll show you in a minute, you can then change the order of the list to see those tags in that grouping. Okay, so we'll flick across back to the main dashboard of the runbook, so we'll just hit back. Okay, when I click on runbooks, over here, this is what I mean by the tags. So I can sort by that column. Now, currently at the moment, this is only a dev system. We've only got a few play runbooks in here, and we're up to 32 already. By default, there's 27, so it's already onto two pages. So by the time you put, you know, 30 or 40 runbooks in here, you're going to be trying to sort through 100 odd runbooks trying to find out what you need. Okay. So the way they all link together, I'll show you this before we kick one off. It's over into VMM. We now have the word automation sitting at the top, just up there. So we'll go into the automation side. We've already had a couple already linked together. So basically what you do is you link it to an action inside the engine and tell it what runbook you want and say whether it's enabled or disabled. So I'll show you what one looks like. Coming up, yeah. There we go. Okay. So basically there's a set of parent events and each one of those has a child event on it. So if I picked SPF VM, then there'll be a create, delete and update child event on each one of those. So let me just flick down to that. Why are you not letting me out? There we go. So there's the action events we fire against. Okay, once we've picked one of those, I'll just pick anyone for now. Then we get to select our runbook that we want to run against it. Okay, we hit okay, submits it into the system. Okay, if all's gone well, next time you perform that action, it should fire that runbook off for you. Okay, what I'll do here now is we'll go across and we'll fire one in. So let me go back to runbooks. Okay. I'll just bring up the runbook as it is. So this is a runbook we're going to quickly run off. So what we're going to do is going to connect to Orchestrator. We're going to use our creds that we've stored in there. We're going to run a runbook called log event. It's a complex runbook. All it's going to do is create an event in the event log on the Orchestrator server. Okay, we've got a couple of parameters that we're passing through there. We'll update those parameters as we go through. You can get the runbook to present and ask for parameters if you need to. Okay, and then we'll call a couple of PowerShell commands to do it. Okay, so hit start on that one. Okay. Okay, so you'll get your usual Azure prompt there. I'll click view job. It'll go off and do a status. So the first status is scheduling, then it's queuing, then it's starting, then it's ended or error. Okay, input parameters there, we didn't accept any. Output parameters, we don't have any yet till it's actually run. So, okay, just finished. Okay, so here's our output parameters. It's gone over, it's made the web service call, it's done its work over there, and it's brought back some information about what's happening with it, okay? Now what we'll do is we'll flick over to the Orchestrator server, go into our event logs, application log. Okay, the time on this clock is 4:54, so we'll open that up. Okay, there we are. This event log has come in. So what's happened there is I'll bring up the runbook designer for you and show you it in there. So I have my runbook here. I have my runbooks folder and I have my event here. Okay, so it's received the information, it's then created the event in the event log. So that runbook has been run on the WAP server, sent across to the management server, the SMA server, it's then scheduled it and then run it on the Orchestrator server via web services, which has then logged an event to itself. Okay, so you can see here we've called into Orchestrator. Once we're in Orchestrator, we can do anything we want in Orchestrator. We can pass through those variables and get Orchestrator to do the heavy lifting for us. Okay. Okay, is there any questions? Nope. No questions.